Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Reinvent podcast. In today's episode, I interview Dr. David Boselli, an international expert in the areas of trauma intervention and conflict resolution. He is the creator of Tension and Trauma Releasing Exercise, TRE, which is a revolutionary technique designed to help release the deep tension created in the body during a traumatic experience or through chronic stress. At this particular juncture, a technique such as this is so important as many thousands of people are experiencing unprecedented levels of anxiety and fear, which negatively impact the immune system, quality of life, and our ability to persevere. This technique is freely available for anyone to use. Links to Dr. David's website and YouTube videos are included in the Reinvent podcast notes. Dave, thank you so much for making the time. Your time available to chat today. You have a lifetime of experience working with international organizations and people all over the world. You're a qualified psychoneurologist and neurotherapist. What prompted you to focus so specifically on trauma and how we process it physically?
Well, it's usually life's experiences, which we usually don't plan, but I was working with a nonprofit organization and I went to the Middle East and to some countries in Africa, and I was living there. Some of those countries happened to be at war. And what I realized as a psychotherapist trained in the, you know, in the United States, that it wasn't transferable. I was almost useless in terms of helping them work with trauma and understanding what was going on in them, because I couldn't transfer either lingually, because I didn't speak their language, or culturally. Individual psychotherapy doesn't fit many cultures. And so there I was, well trained in trauma, but not able to do anything with it. As a result of that, my sort of paradigm was shattered, and I wondered what I was doing there. And so I ended up just staying and living there and helping as best I could. But in that process, when we were being bombed or shot at, many of us, including myself, would tremor out of fear. So we would shake. And so this experience became both quite common for myself as well as common for the populations of people that I was living with. And so then one day I simply happened to sort of sit down and ask myself, what is this tremoring? Why is my body shaking? What is it doing? What is this about? And so basically, it's the same type of shaking that everybody experiences when they're afraid or anxious or nervous. We all know the experience. But having lived in war, it was kind of thrown into my face, so I couldn't ignore it so easily. So then I began to explore it and ask myself, could this tremoring possibly be helping us through the process? So that when I did some research and I talked to some other professionals who were neurologists and they absolutely were very aware to say, yes, tremoring helps the body. What it really does is it calms down the nervous system, because when we get nervous or anxious, we increase the amount of adrenaline and cortisol in our system. And the tremoring is an attempt of the body to burn off some of that. The shaking is an attempt of the body to burn off some of that adrenaline and cortisol to return the body back to a calm and relaxed state. So once I discovered that's what was going on, then my next task was to figure out, can I actually artificially initiate this tremor mechanism so that if I did it in a safe and comfortable place, could people downregulate their nervous systems and come back to a healthy, relaxed state, but do this as sort of a self-directed process? And I discovered I could. It was easy to activate because it's genetically encoded in us. And I discovered if you put people in a calm and safe place and activate their shaking mechanism, it does actually calm down the nervous system, even from traumas that we've had many years in the past.
Yeah. Okay. So if you had to compare, for example, TRE and talk therapy, they would complement each other, but in the case of severe trauma, and I'm talking, if we were talking about war, if we're talking about hijackings, robberies, real life threatening traumas that, and children go through the most unbelievable traumas and they tend to normalize it. How would this differ for or complement your traditional talk therapy?
Well, it does both, actually. It does differ a little bit, and it does complement it. Because what I've discovered is that when people activate this shaking mechanism in their body, sometimes they get emotions or feelings or images, but they don't really get words or a specific story. They just say, it feels dark, I feel afraid, I'm anxious. Those are usually indicators. Maybe it was early childhood trauma, and they didn't have words to put to it, or they were in their bedroom at night, and they were afraid, but they couldn't identify anything that they were afraid of. Some people tremor, and they have no memory about anything. They'll say, I have no idea what this is. I don't know what this is about, but it's very clear something in my body is showing me it's been through some sort of trauma in the past. Other people will tremor, and they'll say, oh, my God, I know what this is. This was the sexual abuse, or this was the childhood abuse. I was beaten by my father or mother, and they know what it is. And the emotions may surface with that. So here's where it's both independent and interdependent. It can be independent in the sense that you could tremor, have no emotion, no memory, and you just tremor, and all it's doing is relaxing the myofascia or the muscles in the fascia in the body, taking away chronic tension in the structure of the body and helping your body feel more relaxed. Some people can tremor and they can have an emotion, but no memory. So now you have the body and the emotional center of the brain are connecting, but there's no memory to it. And so they connect themselves, basically. I don't have to worry about that. If I start with the body, as it starts to soften and release its protective patterns of defense, if there is either an emotional connection or a psychological, meaning memory connection, they will surface. If they are still interconnected with one another, that they need to all release together. So some people will have a memory but have no emotion attached to it at all. And some people will just tremor. So you could tremor have an emotion, or tremor have a memory, or tremor and have an emotion and a memory. But what I do is I let the organism guide the person to that state. And here's how it's separate from doing psychotherapy. In psychotherapy, I would ask you a question deliberately about that situation or whatever the trauma is that you might be presenting. But if your body is not prepared to release that or to access it deeply, there could be some resistance to that. Whereas when I start with the body work first, the body organically shows me or shows the individual when they get to a point where now the emotion is accessible. So if the emotion is accessible, and maybe they cry as an example, well, now I know that crying is in relationship and in connection to the body and where the body is. And the same thing with a memory. Once the body brings them to the point of having a memory, now I know neurophysiologically the connection has been made, and I find it's more useful because now I have an organism that's working with the brain or the neural pathways, and together they are trying to bring resolution to this past traumatic event rather than just working with one of those or the other. I'm working with both now, but I'm waiting until they connect themselves. And then I work with that process.
Wow, this is, you know, this has brought up so many questions. For example, we see with animals when they are in shock or they're afraid, they naturally start to tremble. And within a few minutes, they're over it. They just get on with it. It's almost innate and natural for them to go through this tremoring without, you know, having to go through a process. It's the way the sort of nature knows how to release that pent up energy, for example. And I suppose as human beings, we don't go and shake around in the office because we feel a little, you know, after a tough meeting, because we feel a little bit inhibited. But that's a really good point. I mean, it speaks to me about the need for dance therapy, to go for a run, anything to create some kind of physical release to get rid of that pent up feeling that we can't put words to. But this, what you're teaching and what you have created is a very specific set of steps. Can you chat about that briefly and tell us, you know, it's not just a quick Q&A session. There are actual physical steps that a person would go through, a series of steps to move that energy from say, the feet right through the vagal nerve right up into the brainstem? How does that work?
Well, what I did was try to figure out just anatomically, when people are stressed or anxious, where would they hold a lot of this stress or anxiety? And so I thought, all right, we have this phrase grounding. We need to ground people. So I thought about exercises that start from the feet and the ankles, then go to the calf muscles, the quadriceps, hamstrings, into the psoas muscle and into the lower back. All of those muscle groups, I created very simple exercises that almost anybody can do, and they're designed to both stress the muscle mildly and stretch it. And it is in this mild stress and the gentle stretch with which we can easily activate and access this tremor mechanism. Now, the last exercise is when they lay down on the floor in the butterfly position, so that when they close their knees gently, the tremor mechanism seems to most easily activate in the adductor muscles, which are on the inner thigh. Yes. And once they activate there, the person can just passively lay there, feel the tremoring happen, and it will, by its own capacity, move from the legs through the pelvis and into the lower back. And so the tremor mechanism actually spreads itself organically because it follows the muscle and fascia patterns that are open enough to allow it to move there. And then we can see blockages when it can't move there. But the whole point of it was, is if this tremor mechanism is genetically encoded in us, then every human being should know that it's there, and they should know how to self-activate this and to use it safely, because it's our genetically encoded mechanism to calm our nervous system down, just like you talked about mammals, who do it readily without hesitation, obviously without even knowledge about it. But their system activates this tremor mechanism so that they don't have post-traumatic stress disorder. So animals in the wild don't demonstrate PTSD, but animals who are which are domesticated do demonstrate it.
Right. That's absolutely fascinating, especially, you know, animals being such a subject close to all of our hearts. It would be really interesting to see if we could figure out, or if you could figure out, a way of getting domestic animals to release that pent up memory and stress as well, without having to relive the trauma. And I think for myself, with a background in psychoneuroimmunology and understanding the mind-body connection, is the trauma of reliving that memory is sometimes just so counterintuitive, because it creates the same chemistry all over again, and we're not really helping anybody. But if we can use that innate wisdom of the body and the brain and let nature do what it needs to do to dissipate it and, like you say, ground it, give it back into the earth, that is so useful, especially when we've got language limitations. So children who've been traumatized, who can't find the words.
There is a little bit of a language limitation, but your point is interesting. When a person relives this trauma in psychotherapy sessions or whatever, when we first add the tremor mechanism, we're introducing the possibility of transforming that paradigm into a successful outcome. See, so if they're tremoring, which is something that they probably could not do or did not do at the time of the traumatic event, we're already introducing a new narrative to a different conclusion to that traumatic event, which at this point would be successful resolution of it.
So it sounds to me like that feeling of the tremor is almost empowering. It's giving the body something to do in response to a place where they would otherwise be helpless. For example,
The body and the brain already know this tremor mechanism. It's us, our ego, that's confused or didn't know that it was available to us. But once you activate it, you're activating the natural neurophysiology of the human organism. It already connects the brain and the body, and it does all of this by itself, and it does this for the purpose of healing. So once I introduce it, we're already introducing the body's direction towards healing. Now, that's not to say that the story might not still be painful, but the resolution will have a more positive outcome at this point.
So you've got this background in the sciences, in the neural sciences, the psychiatric sciences, but a strong affiliation with theological studies, multicultural influences. How did that flavor and color your experience of creating TRE along the way?
Well, what happened when I started studying these different sciences is I realized that the natural sciences separated the brain from the body. And we did that to study both of them. But in the process, what we did was basically teach them as though they're separated. So we don't even have a language now. Now we want to bring them back together. And we say, well, brain body. But brain body still implies a brain and a body as though they're somehow different or separated. And as far as our human organism knows, that's the phrase I choose to use, the human organism has no idea that the brain and body are separated, that the nervous system is different from, you know, the fascial patterns. It has no idea. It still operates as an integral whole, that all the parts are interrelated. So we do lack a language that says, okay, we live in a living organism. It isn't, do I take care of the brain? Do I take care of the body? And what studying all these different sciences did was it made me realize that every human person that I've worked with, when they're ready to do therapy, they're either coming because they want to do body work and they don't want to talk, or they're coming because they want to talk, but they're afraid to go in their body, or they come and they have some sort of spiritual interpretation or struggle about what the trauma did to their belief system. So somehow body, mind, and spirit are always brought into the person as they try to struggle to reform their life after a traumatic event. But what I did discover is no matter which one of those dimensions they come in, body, mind, or spirit, through the process, they actually end up touching all three of those again. Yes. So they'll touch their belief system, even if they're atheist or agnostic, they will believe something after that traumatic event that could be slightly different than what they believed before the traumatic event. Their body will be more, they will be inhabiting their body more. And of course, then their psyche will have reframed that story to potentially bring what we call post-traumatic growth, a new possible outcome that somehow is better than the development that the person had before the traumatic event. So body, mind, and spirit seem to find their way into every session or every process of an individual, but their starting points are all different.
I find that so fascinating that we can reframe an event physically, you know, from a physiological experience, not just from changing a perception, a mental perception of an experience, because as you said, it's all one organism. It's completely interrelated. And we're always
Once you take the tension pattern out, you've taken away one of the elements that's recreating the trauma story, so that the neurology has no longer the pattern of tension that was perpetuating the story. So the neurology and the physiology have to be connected to one another. If you take either one of those away through hypnosis, let's say you take away the story in neurology, then the body relaxes. All of a sudden, the shoulders drop. Or if you take away the tension in the shoulder, it interrupts that connection of the neurophysiology, and then the brain relaxes. So we can access these stories through multiple dimensions within ourselves.
Mm. What's really so enlightening here is that you're working from not just a top-down, but a bottom-up, not just with the brain reframing, but getting the physical, the muscles and the fascia to communicate upstream, and not simply relying on the brain to connect or heal downstream. And I mean, you see this, I'm sure, with old injuries and chronic backache, where people have stored emotion and stored even physiological injury for years, and nothing seems to help. But when you can incorporate that top-down, bottom-up approach and work the human organism rather than just the brain or just the body, that could be an absolutely groundbreaking experience. I'm sure it is for many people who've experienced it.
I think in our future, we're going to recognize there's no possibility. We already have. Bessel van der Kolk already said you're not going to heal trauma just from the brain. You've got to address the body as well, because the organism, meaning the human body, went through the trauma as well. Even if it froze, that happens in the physiology of the structure, not just in the brain. And so there's no such way as healing trauma. That's an impossibility to do that without body and brain and their interrelated nature.
Sure. I suppose we could say the same for autoimmune disease, because that is largely born of a psychological issue to begin with, whether it's trauma or if it's an experience of a feeling of being disempowered, to give the immune system just simply the wrong message to attack the physiology in itself. Have you had any experience in dealing with anyone with autoimmune issues?
I have, but I'm not exactly sure, since I haven't been able to research it adequately. I'm not sure how the tremor mechanism helps it, but it does help it. So I've had people actually have success with their autoimmune deficiencies. But my only guess at this point is that the tremor mechanism seems to discharge excessive levels of adrenaline and cortisol that are stuck in the system. And as it reduces those, it then automatically strengthens the immune system. And so once the immune system becomes stronger, then I think it's capable of fighting off whatever is attacking it. So I think it's really just strengthening the immune system. And then the immune system does the work of dealing with whatever is affecting it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And we are largely electromagnetic beings to begin with, you know, and those all the chemicals that are cascading through the brain and through the body and are giving the right or the incorrect signals are also connected to that electromagnetic frequency. And you mentioned over and over again, we're discharging the energy. So if there is an electricity and it's shorting out in the wrong place, it seems to me that these kinds of, especially TRE, is recircuiting not only the neural connections, but maybe the physiological, the physical connections through the fascia as well. It's almost like sending your car in for a service and just getting everything rewired correctly so you can carry on going.
Well, I think that's exactly what's happening. And I think your use of the word electromagnetic is right on target, because it is with the muscle spindle fibers, the central pattern generators, with the fascia and the nervous system, much of that communication is done through electrical current, not through chemical change. So it is really an electromagnetic movement of the organism stimulating itself. And you're right. I always tell people it's kind of like jump starting a car that, you know, it's got a little stuck. You add a little bit of extra battery power to it and it starts, and then it can run itself. What we're doing by activating the tremor mechanism artificially through the exercises is basically jump-starting the nervous system to re-stimulate itself again, because it's either numbed out or frozen or mildly dissociated from all the traumatic events that have built up inside the structure.
So could we call chronic burnout trauma and put it in the same sort of bracket as for example, a traumatic car accident? If you have been working yourself into the ground for 10 years, does the brain know the difference between what is going on in a sudden traumatic event or compared to constantly beating yourself up year after year? Is it the same kind of pattern that we're seeing?
As far as I can tell, the brain and the body don't make any distinction as to what produced the high levels of adrenaline and the contraction in the muscle tissue. So that could be a car accident, that could be prolonged stress from a difficult job, it could be a difficult childhood. The brain doesn't seem to make a distinction, neither does the body. All it knows is I'm contracting because I'm in a threat, whether that threat was a car accident or that threat was 18 years of domestic abuse. It doesn't matter. It just knows I contracted. Help me let go of contraction. Help me release the emotions that are stuck inside. Help me to put my brain back online, meaning the brain stem, limbic system, and cortex. That's all it knows. It knows everything is offline and disjointed or disconnected. It doesn't seem to care what produced it. Because all it's trying to do is reconnect all the parts and restore that healthy communication in the organism.
Yes. This sounds like possibly one of the most cutting edge technologies really and truly out there, because all we're seeing, especially, well, I'm from a point of view of being in South Africa and in my practice, is increased levels of trauma, of chronic stress. People are not getting better. They're just simply deteriorating and nothing else seems to work. We can do talk therapy. We can improve nutrition. We can do all of these things. But until we start seeing that human being as an interconnected web of electromagnetic and fluids and chemistry, and let that ground itself, nothing's going to really be effective. And we've always spoken about grounding and getting into nature, but again, it's been an isolation of just do that or just try this. But this seems to pull it all together into a logical sort of therapy where the whole body brain seems to feel like we're getting somewhere.
Well, in one sense, it's kind of a little bit difficult because I'm wondering if, in fact, this isn't an essential component to healing because it's a part of our genetic makeup. So does the human organism need this when we activate the tremor mechanism through the body? Does it have its own way of communicating to the neurology that we don't have from the field of psychology, as example? Does it have its own way of making sense or reintegrating itself back into a healthy, whole organism? If this mechanism is genetically encoded in us, which it is actually, because you can stimulate it easily and every human being can do it, then it seems to me that we've evolved with it. So if we have evolved with this mechanism, it seems pretty essential to the human organism that we still need it or we still can use it for constantly, in a sense, fine-tuning or doing our checkup, if you will, using the car as an example. Take it in for a fine tuning and a checkup every once in a while to make sure that everything's running normally. I think this tremor mechanism is the same thing. You use it every day or every other day, and it's basically doing an internal checkup to make sure all the systems are interconnected and they're working and functioning in a healthy manner. That's what keeps us in a state of calmness.
So doing these techniques, for example, before bedtime, how would that help somebody who battles with chronic insomnia?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Somebody who battles to sleep with chronic insomnia, would these exercises, the series of exercises, help them fall asleep and get into deep sleep more readily?
Well, that's a little bit complicated because I have a lot of people, particularly soldiers, that's one of their biggest complaints. They can't sleep at night. And they can do the exercises just one time and tell me, oh my God, I slept so deeply last night. But then that's not consistent. So they're not sleeping deeply every night with it. And I always hesitate to say, yes, it will help some sort of chronic condition because, yes, I think it will move the body in the direction of resolving chronic problems in the body. But I'm not sure that the tremor mechanism is the only thing that will do that. But I believe it supports the system in moving in the direction to actually resolving any of these chronic problems that we find ourselves living with.
Sure. I suppose there's no one-size-fits-all single solution for everybody for all symptoms and all conditions, but it sounds like it's something that is really worth giving a try, especially if you don't want to be dependent on sleeping pills. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, it's sort of like we've already recognized that if you keep a healthy diet, then you can keep the autoimmune system healthy. Okay, so we know that already. Now, not all of us do that because we eat a bag of potato chips in a second, even though we know they're not healthy for us. The having a healthy diet seems to be the same thing. It simply supports you to heal your system. The tremor mechanism seems to support the process of moving towards healing, but there could be other more complex things that also have to be considered for resolution of the trauma.
Okay. So you were in South Africa running a course for practitioners. Can anybody learn how to become a qualified TRE coach? Or do you need to have a background in psychotherapy? Or what is needed if you would like to learn not only how to just simply practice the techniques, but in order to become a certified coach? What does that take?
Yeah. Well, when I was in the Middle East and in Africa, it's when it struck me that it's really damaging and limiting for us to say, oh, you have to be a professional therapist or coach or whatever to be able to teach these exercises. And I thought, wait, if they're natural, normal in the human body, well, first of all, everyone should have access to what is in their body. It's theirs. And in the Middle East and in Africa, there were no therapists. So I was actually forced to, which I'm so grateful for, to teach just common, ordinary folks, mothers with children or carpenters or plumbers or electricians, whatever. So I designed the program that it could be learned by anybody, and because it's quite easy to do, and that everyone should have a right to be certified to be able to teach this as long as they can successfully go through the certification program, which many people do. So we have a lot of people who are not therapists, which is really wonderful. But we have also body workers, energy workers, psychotherapists, medical doctors, but we have regular people who don't have therapy in any form in their background. And they are just as successful, just as insightful, and just as effective as the other groups of people are.
No, I absolutely applaud that, because we're in a state in this particular time and place on Earth where we can't get this information out quickly enough to enough people, because so many people are hugely traumatized. And I think it's absolutely wonderful that you've made it so widely available to everybody. So what I'm going to do is, of course, on the podcast page is link your website address and contact details. And anybody who is interested in finding out more about your workshops and how to get training, or even how to find somebody who they can simply go to for a course of just to go through the techniques themselves, we'll hook that up and make it get the word out there as widely as possible.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I like people to understand that all we're doing is showing you, try to help you learn that your human body has some things built into it that we haven't been made aware of. And they're to our advantage. They're to our benefit to learn about them and then use them for ourselves. Because now, given the state that the planet is in right now, and so many countries are on lockdown, well, whole families could do this in their living room together right now and use this as a way of becoming closer together. They reduce their stress levels. They do these simple exercises that aren't complicated. They have an experience in their body. And if they have any sort of emotional discharge, they're all there to support one another to do this. It can be extremely bonding for families right now.
Yes, especially what we're seeing at the moment. You know, it's always been my belief that the human body is geared to thrive, to heal.
Yeah.
It has all of the natural mechanisms built in. And this is clearly one of the key mechanisms that drive natural healing. So yes, if we can teach people to understand that, and they don't have to take a drug or go to a doctor every time something goes awry, and they have these innate wisdoms inherent in the body. It's not to say you don't need a doctor sometimes, but a lot of the time when you are mindful and you understand that your body has this very powerful tool, I think that's incredible. And you know, medicine isn't available to everybody all the time. So this could be so valuable for many, many people out there.
I love your point. I think we are self-healing organisms, and we would be surprised that we could probably heal ourselves to about 60% of our disruption inside our human body. We could probably do that ourselves and not be dependent on medical professionals or psychotherapists, because like you said, many people don't have access to it. So let's give them what they do have access to that's free and easy, that they can actually move their own systems in a greater direction of health.
Absolutely. I've always believed if you just give your body the tools and they're simple and largely free, you will have the most extraordinarily healthy life. It doesn't have to, you don't have to suffer, but we just need to experience it. Just, have that opportunity to see what it takes, and the brain will change.
We put these exercises online for free for everybody to have access to them.
Wonderful. So I'm going to link up the show notes and all our social media connections to your online courses and all of your free resources. And we're going to get this out there as widely as humanly possible. And I'd like to thank you once again for your time. This has been the most inspirational and fascinating discussion, and I can't wait to see you again in person when you're back in Africa, when we can all travel freely and we appreciate the ability to move around the globe again. So thank you so much, and we will certainly get the message out.
Thank you for interviewing me. I appreciate that.
Great pleasure. Thank you, Dave.
This episode has been sponsored by Jackson's Whole Food Market. If you would like to win a hamper full of delicious, healthy products, please go to the link in the show notes, which can be found at reinventhealth.co.za/podcast notes. Include your name and loyalty card number and stand a chance to win.